Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Welcome back to Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins of Your Health Unbound, and today I'm here with Karen Seltz, and I'm so happy we have such a great discussion for you to listen in on today. But let me first tell you a little bit about Karen. Karen has been a certified life coach and brain gym consultant for over 16 combined years and has a master's of education in counseling. She is a transformational public speaker and a spiritual life coach whose mission it is to create a world in which every woman knows her worth and her purpose, commits to showing up authentically and unapologetically, and plays full out. Karen supports spiritual women who know they have a higher calling in stepping out of their own comfort zones with courage and power to create the lives of their dreams. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Angela. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I am so happy for you to be here. You have a compelling story, and I really want you to dive right in and tell us all about why it's important to trust ourselves to make those big decisions.
Awesome. Well, I grew up most like a lot of people, I think, in a place where it wasn't really safe to listen to my gut. I didn't really have the choice. You know, my parents told me what I could eat, what I could wear, even, you know, who my friends were going to be for a lot of years. And so I just kind of got used to not listening to myself. And it hurt me in a lot of ways because, you know, I had those gut feelings to really pay attention to, and I just ignored them. And I ended up being depressed for a long time. I got pretty heavily involved in an addiction. And it wasn't, I was also addicted, I'm going to say, to playing small. Mm. And yeah, like hiding, not wanting to be seen. And it wasn't until my mother passed away that I realized, I really dug deep and I got into the actual causes of that. And I realized that I had gotten the message my whole life that, who do you think you are? Like, why would you want to be bigger? Why would anybody want to listen to you?
Is this something you feel that other women do almost without thinking?
Yes. And I look now at, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, politically, and how women haven't had a voice. Like, for some reason, we are to doubt them or doubt the validity of what they're saying. And I just find it just ludicrous. And like, my daughters don't have that construct of, you know, women are different than men and they have different opportunities and they're paid differently. They don't have that construct because I've raised them differently. I'll give you a quick example of that. We went to the Halloween costume store recently, and my daughter, who's 11, said, "How come all the girls' costumes have to be sexy?"
That's a good observation for such a young girl.
Right, and so stereotypical. Mm-hmm. You know, why do girls have pink doctor's uniforms or nurse uniforms? And, you know, the police outfits are these little tiny dresses. They're not real uniforms. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, welcome. Welcome to the United States. And, you know, it's interesting because I didn't realize that the opportunities were different for a long time until I became an adult woman. So it wasn't until, like I was saying, my mom passed away and I started examining those beliefs of, you know, how committed I was to playing small, to staying safe and not showing up in my purpose. And I'll never forget, I got invited to a meeting or a convention, really, of a business coach. And she talked about, you know, really being committed to your purpose and taking a stand and being courageous and taking action. And something in me started to wake up. And I thought, well, I'm not trying to please my mom anymore. I don't need her love anymore because she's not here on the physical plane. So I made a decision, and it was the first time in a long time that I had made a decision that was for me and me alone, and to be bigger, to have an impact, to live my purpose, which I believe is showing other women that they are worthy and their voice matters and they're here for a reason and to live it. So
how did you get to that point where you made that decision not to live small anymore? What changed?
It was hearing somebody inspirational and then just deciding, making a decision that I was worth it and that I couldn't stay small anymore. I just couldn't be stifled. And I was like, if you could picture something like really super small under pressure, and I just exploded out like, and I was just ready to go. And I was then willing to take risks that I wasn't willing to do before.
That's important for growth, to take risks. I mean, we all have to get out of our comfort zone in order to take risks. So mm-hmm. How do you help other women to stop playing small, to start making those decisions?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. So the best thing that I can recommend is really to practice. So to set an intention of what it is that you really want and to get clear on that, like, what do you want in your life, say in 3 months or 6 months? And you can start, you know, as long-term as you want and then break it down, chunk it out into smaller pieces that are bite-sized. But just having that clear vision in your mind of where you're going is so helpful. And then figuring out, you don't even have to figure out the how, really, because opportunities will just present themselves. They will manifest and be in alignment with your vision. So I have an example of that. I decided that in my coaching business, I wanted to start a group program, which I had never done before. And I set a timeline. So in 60 days, I wanted to develop this entire group program and then enroll a certain number of women into it. And I did all these things, like a lot of doing instead of necessarily being. And I know I don't need to explain that difference to you, but doing is when we get caught up in the actions, like, okay, if I do X, Y, and Z, then this will happen, rather than just being, stepping into like a whole new way of being. Like, I became bold in order to fill this group program. I had to do things. I got to do things that were out of my comfort zone and to stretch myself and to become more than I thought I was. And one of those things was getting on the telephone and making kind of cold calls to people I didn't know. And it's interesting because I was in sales for 20, 30 years. I don't know, long time, 20 years. And I had a fear like I was going to die if I got on the telephone with anybody. So
So is it your philosophy that you just need to do it?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that because I was blocked. I could not force myself to get on the phone. How I got out of that was to focus out on service. So the reason that I had that block, well, there are lots of reasons, but part of it was I was trying to get something. So in my job, I was trying to get an appointment. I wasn't focused on what I could bring to them, how I could serve them. So once I changed my whole philosophy, because I believe my message is what a lot of women need to hear. So once I changed that and focused on how can I serve them, even like in a phone call, how can I make their lives better? How can I get them thinking differently, bigger? You know, because we all get stuck in these little boxes, it seems. You know, we do our day-to-day, we survive instead of thrive.
So I totally agree with you. I of course, we live different lifestyles than many of the people because we've already come to our realization of what needed to change in our lives. But to get people to change that, they need to find something. They need to tap into their inner wisdom, basically. And I don't think we trust ourselves enough to do that. So is there a method of how you can just like tap into your intuition and understand what is the best method of doing this?
Yes. So I am a big proponent of meditation. And meditation, some people get scared of that word. It looks like whatever it looks like for you. It's not sitting down and clearing your mind of all thoughts. That just doesn't happen. You know, it's introducing some space, some spaciousness to the mind and the consciousness. And I mean, it could be a walking meditation. It could be the ones, you know, where you listen to gongs or some kind of music. But one thing that really helped me to really tap into my intuition was writing, which was a little surprising to me because I wasn't a big writer. But I would write my questions that I had for my version of my higher power, whatever that looks like for you, or it could even be the highest version of yourself, your higher consciousness.
So you're talking about journaling, basically?
Yeah, but in a question and answer format. So write my questions in black or blue, and then just get quiet and listen to what the answer that comes. And I like to journal that in red. So when I go back and look at it, it's really easy to find. And if I have trouble connecting, I will go read the red sometimes. And it always speaks to me.
That is so interesting. It's the first time anybody has ever told me that they use different colored ink in order to make a different impression on yourself. And it's so true that colors do make an impression on your brain. You could look at some things that are very calming, soothing, and other things that are very excitatory. But just the contrast in your own handwriting in different colors must make an impact on you because it's helped drive you towards your goals.
Yeah. And it really helps. I have suffered from a bit of ADD and writing helps calm my mind and focus it on one thing.
Do you think that ADD really is your sense of perfectionism?
Oh.
I think many people think that everything has to be so perfect before they can do the next thing that they never get to the next thing.
Yes, that's a big thing that holds a lot of people back is, especially women, is second guessing themselves. And a lot of that is the perfectionism piece, you know, not wanting to be wrong. Like, because I would invite everybody to go a little deeper on that. Like, if you're wrong, what are you making that mean about yourself? Because really, it doesn't mean anything. And one of my spiritual philosophies is practice being wrong. because
that's a great, you know, that's a great concept. And I think maybe you need to take a minute to talk about that, because in my mind, one of the things I had to learn is, what's the worst that can happen if I am wrong? What's the worst? And, you know, the world's not going to end. It's just, we don't think that way. And so I'd love to see how you get that concept across to clients to practice being wrong.
Yeah, I love that, because, you know, one of my sayings is, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And it's interesting what the answers are, because you would be shocked at how many people will choose being right.
Wow.
I'm always shocked anytime anybody says that. And it's really when we have to be right, then there is a loser in this situation. We're making somebody else wrong, and you just can't win. Nobody wins. And you might feel better for a few minutes.
That's a very important point, and I want to stop you and emphasize that. So if you have to be right, then you've got to win. Somebody else loses. So that's a bad proposition right there, especially if it's part of a relationship or a family or something. That is a really bad proposition. But if you want to be happy, then it's a win-win situation, because when you're happy, more likely that the people around you are going to be happy too. So that is huge. And I'm glad you expressed that. And I think that's a very important point for people to think about. Before you say, would you rather be right or happy, think about what that outcome is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important in continuing our relationships, because, you know, a lot of people are in romantic partnerships and they don't understand their role in the whole situation, like why the relationship's going south. Like, well, you know, if you step back and you take a look, are you on the same team? You know, are you supportive, or are you trying to win arguments? Are you, you know, trying to get your point across? Are you trying to be understood? You know, it's a whole can of worms.
I joke sometimes that I think that's what first marriages are for, to figure out what you did wrong. Because when I'm on my second and my last, and when we got together, I told him, I said, I didn't necessarily need a husband. I needed a partner. Mm. And that made a difference, because I think there's this social construct of husband and wife and roles, and all, and I didn't want that anymore. I'd already done all that, and I'd raised my kids, and I wanted now a life with a person who's going to share it with me completely as a partner. And no matter what we did, it didn't matter what role we were in, like he cooks, I clean, it doesn't matter. As long as you're on the same track and you're going towards a common goal, meaning you both want to be happy together, I think that's what's important. So, yeah, I really think this is a hugely important role, but I just have to throw in there, because I honestly think the first marriage is your practice one.
Right? Well, for some of us, yep. Yes, indeed, myself included. I've had two practice marriages.
Well, as long as we learn something from them, right? I mean, that's, in a way, we're not perfect creatures. And we're not meant to be perfect creatures. And I think one thing that I have learned across time is we evolve. We're not the same person we were when you're 20, when you're 40, when you're 60, when you're 80. You evolve over time. And hopefully in that evolution, you've learned something about yourself and it makes you a better person. And if that's the case, you're bringing that better person to the next relationship. And hopefully that translates into a better, longer relationship.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And we're going back to the perfectionism piece. It's really interesting, like the dichotomy that exists within us, like thinking that we're perfect and we can't do anything wrong, and yet at the same time talking to ourselves in such a negative way. And, you know, I was definitely in that camp. You know, I would be, you know, so set in my ways and think that I was absolutely right. There's no way that I'm not right. And then I would beat the crap out of myself. on my own time and tell myself, you know, how terrible I was or how unworthy or unlovable or it. But I think those things kind of feed each other. You know, when we have to be right at all costs, we know that somebody's losing. Someone's on the losing end of that.
So how do we improve upon this?
So the first thing is just to become conscious. So when you catch yourself in the act of trying to be right or winning an argument or proving a point, just catch yourself and step back and say, oh, excuse me, I just caught myself trying to be right or trying to be perfect. And people will really appreciate that, that level of humility and humanity. And then really, I would invite you to listen to the other person's point of view and try to find some type of commonality, because most people just want to be heard, really.
I think that's true for a lot of people, and a lot of people who feel like they're not being heard will talk excessively or talk loudly or impose their personality, not knowing that they would be listened to more if they just were them, if just themselves. They don't have to do any more than that. And so all these things they throw in to be heard are really jarring or really obfuscating you being heard. So yeah, we need to learn to accept ourselves however, you know, however we are. We're flawed human beings just because we are human. And so the best way to improve, I would think, and you can correct me if you think differently, that is to accept ourselves first.
Right. And that's huge. And for me, that was something that I knew in my head for a lot of years. And then it came from starting to take risks, like telling little bits of truth about myself to safe people. And what I mean about that is talking about what really matters to me and what I'm really feeling. And that was scary for me because, you know, growing up, that was just not done. I think in most households, I just turned 50 this year. So in most households, you know, at least where I grew up, we just didn't do that. And it's just, it's a scary thing, or to talk about your
mistakes. I grew up in the age where children were seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a long time to feel that I could just speak out and not be thought of any, you know, less than who I was. And I think a positive part of that is the dynamic is changing in our world, and women especially are being able to come into their own. But I think there's so many women still your age, my age, even older, who are still stuck in that dynamic that they were raised to, you grow up and you took care of other people, or you were subservient in some way, or you took a job less than because you were a woman. And I think we are obligated, because we found the truth that you don't have to be that way. So we need to share it. We need to just go out and say, you know, you really can live a better life, and here's part of the way you can do it. And your method, really, by helping people trust themselves and use their intuition and, you know, step into their power, is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And just realizing that it's there for you. Like, there is this version of you that's inside and wanting to come out and sometimes screaming at you, like, please show up, please be bigger. And part of my decision to step into that was I have two daughters, and I was doing them a disservice. I'm a single mother. I was married to a man who became an alcoholic. So they have very little contact with him. They see him, you know, once a week, but I have them all the time. And I was playing small. You know, I was accepting money from my mom because I couldn't pay my bills because I couldn't get on the phone. And, you know, I was unrecognizable. If you could see me today as to what I was a couple of years ago, my posture was different. My voice was different. Everything. People tell me I look 10 years younger. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Well, it's all about once you step into your power, it actually lights you up. And you know, people say like pregnant women glow. And I think that's because they are, for the most part, usually so happy. Those who are happy to be pregnant, there's a whole excitement about this new life. It does make your body glow. And I think you can glow at any age if you just accept the fact that you are worthy. You are the best. You are the best you. You just need to accept it. And yes, if you can translate that into stepping into your power, taking that bold risk, you're going to come out on the other side glowing too. It's just going to happen.
Yes. And for me, it was taking risks in a safe way at first, which is hilarious. It's counterintuitive. But I was in almost like a support group, and it was for people that wanted to learn to tell the truth about themselves, which is really an interesting concept. So instead of saying this person did something to me, it's taking accountability, taking responsibility and being accountable for your own behaviors and how you showed up in this situation, but not beating yourself up. And then looking, okay, how could I do that differently if I'm in the same situation again? And that's another thing that I would invite everyone to look at is their victim stories that they tell over and over again. Because if you're a victim of anything, you have no power.
Well, if you're the victim, you can't be your hero.
Right. So how can you reframe that and take a look at it, even if you were victimized, because obviously that happens, but how can you look at it in a way that's empowering to you? Like, that event made you into the strong woman that you are today, or strong person, mm-hmm. You're a man. And just really taking a look at the gifts that came along with it. And it reframes things in a way that empowers.
Yeah, I so agree with you. I mean, you have obviously gone through some very dark moments in your life. You've talked about you've had depression and addiction, you know, spiritual confusion. And now you look at it, I mean, you look at you and you've got this positive, open, generous spirit. And it's like everyone who sees that will want that. You know, you can hear how you want people to step into their power, how you want people to just to trust themselves. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. I want you to share with our listeners where they can find you and how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So one thing that I am passionate about is educating women and helping them have the resources at their fingertips to make those improvements, because it doesn't take a lot to change your mindset and to get spiritually connected. It just takes some willingness. So something I'm doing right now is an online interview series that is on mindbodyspiritsynchronicity.com. And I'm interviewing 21 fabulous people on all those different areas and how they come together to form us and what we can do to tweak our ways of thinking or our ways of connecting with our higher power or what we're putting into our bodies. And so we can honor ourselves and honor those intuitive hits that we get and start making decisions from that deeper place within us. And then my website is happinessguru.net. So they can find me there as well.
That is awesome, Karen. And I just want to say thank you again for inviting me on your Mind, Body, Spirit, Synchronicity online series. And I think it's going to be a fabulous resource for many women and men too. We're going to get a lot of information of all aspects of you building that better life, building that life that makes you truly happy, that you can feel your best self. And for everybody listening, I want to make sure that there's a link that you'll be able to go to and register and get free access to this. Is there anything else you'd like to offer?
Oh, I think just take some little steps toward your vision. Like, what is it that you want to create and have in your life and be in your life? And write it down and dream on it, you know, and get a coach.
You know, that's absolutely, not just because we're coaches, but even coaches have coaches because we recognize the value behind that. I know I've gone through many different coaches because they all have different life perspectives. They have different business perspectives. They have different skill sets. And it just increases your awareness. And for me, it helps me help my client more. And I'm certain you find the same thing. And so when we're trying to help other people get to where we are, it's like I always say, I want to bring you on my side now because you're living where I used to be. I want to bring you on my side. I feel like all these people think like, why do I need a coach? Why do I need? Because in this day and age, there isn't that support out there. The family support's not always there. People live in, you know, far reaches of the world, and you may not have contact, you may not have friends, but your coach is going to be there, going to support you, make you accountable, guide you on your way. And that's why I am so supportive of all kinds of coaches, because there's so many different aspects to our lives. And you may need something that I don't have, or you may need something that Karen has, but we're here. And that is just the whole point behind this, is to reach out, find what you need. If you've heard something that Karen is offering that just touches you, reach out to her. She's going to be there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you want to stay where you've been, then don't get a coach. But if you're ready for something new and, you know, you're just ready, then if you want to speed that up, hire a coach.
Tired of being sick and tired, it's time to hire a coach. Honestly, that it is, to me, it is the new generation's way of handling the way our healthy perspectives. You can't rely on doctors. They don't have the time. They don't really have the expertise in all the various areas. They're not going to hit mind, body, spirit, all everything, because their focus is medicine. But what you need to get your life around is somebody who understands the entire life situations. And that's what we do as coaches. We learn about all aspects of life. And if we don't know personally, we do know a coach who does.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say look for somebody who's been where you are.
Exactly.
Story you can relate to, and somebody who you like where they are now.
Yeah, that's what I typically say, is find somebody you like and somebody you trust. And there are plenty of coaches out there these days. We all try to support one another, but more than anything else, we try to support you, the public who needs us, because our life missions are based on our life stories. My story means I am driven to help people focus on nutrition and develop a full life. Your story, you know, breaking out of depression and addiction to help people live happy lives, and they complement each other. And so my thoughts are, just if you hear it and you find that you have that need, don't waste time. We all have websites. We all have phone numbers. Contact us. We're here to help you. You know, I didn't want to turn this into a huge plug, but I find that it's so necessary to tell people sometimes, don't just listen to us, take action, because that's our goal in life. I do this because I'm passionate about it, as I'm sure you are, but I really do encourage people, if nothing else, register for the mindbodyspiritsynchronicity.com online interview series, because you're going to get so much information. It's just, you just can't do without it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Angela. It's been great being here with you. And, you know, we covered a lot today and it was fun and hopefully educational for some people.
Well, I thank you very much, Karen, for bringing your expertise here and sharing it with our listeners. And I, too, will be listening to the Mind, Body, Spirit Synchronicity online interviews because I know I'm going to find something there that I haven't heard before. So thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening again to another episode of Nutrition Prescription. And until next time, be well.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/AngelaAtkinsHNCoach. We'll see you next time.